Friends, as we get started here, if you have your Bibles with you, or you could just look up on the screen behind me, Judges 20:19 through 28 is where we're going to camp a little bit this morning. It states this: the next morning, the Israelites got up and pitched camp near Geba. The Israelites went out to fight the Benjamites and took up battle positions against them at Geba. The Benjamites came out of Geba and cut down 22,000 Israelites on the battlefield that day. But the Israelites encouraged one another and again took up their positions where they had stationed themselves the first day. The Israelites went up and wept before the Lord until evening, and they inquired of the Lord. They said, "Shall we go up again to fight against the Benjamites, our fellow Israelites?" The Lord answered, "Go up against them." Then the Israelites drew near to Benjamin the second day. This time, when the Benjamites came out from Geba to oppose them, they cut down another 18,000 Israelites, all of them armed with swords. Then all the Israelites, the whole army, went up to Bethel, and there they sat weeping before the Lord. They fasted that day until evening and presented burnt offerings and fellowship offerings to the Lord. And the Israelites inquired of the Lord. In those days, the Ark of the Covenant of God was there with Phinehas, son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, ministering before it. They asked, "Shall we go up again to fight against the Benjamites, our fellow Israelites, or not?" The Lord responded, "Go, for tomorrow I will give them into your hands." Judges 20:19 through 28. Would you please pray with me? Lord God, we come before you thanking you for this new day. Thank you for your word. And God, as we navigate through this world filled with sin, we thank you that you have promised to be with us no matter what difficulties and dangers may cross our paths. God, may we remain firm to the end and to persevere in the midst of all of our trials. We thank you that there is no situation in life that is outside of your power. You have every circumstance covered by your grace, which is sufficient for each one of us. And Lord, we ask that you please steer our path through this sin-sick world of temptations. And Lord God, I pray that you would help us to keep our confidence in you and in you alone. Place every need into your hands. I pray that we would do this, God. Help us to do this, knowing that greater is you that is in us than he that's in the world. God, we pray that your will would be done. We pray that you would keep us from our problems and persecutions that we might face and encounter. But God, when we do face trials and temptations and adversity, please, Lord God, give us a spirit of joy that we may have true peace in and through all trials. God, I pray that you would help each one of us to choose joy. And please give us a peace of mind that only you can give. Help us to endure to the end. Lord God, please help us endure. I pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. From our reading today, we see that the nation of Israel is at war with itself, specifically with the tribe of Benjamin. And Israel has 400,000 soldiers up against Benjamin's 26,000. The reason for the war was that the city of Geba, it was evil, and it was in Benjamin. And it needed to be taken care of. Israel had asked God how to proceed before rushing into the battle. So going in, they were very, very confident of victory. But on the first day, Benjamin slaughters 22,000 Israelites. Now, Benjamin had some extremely skilled warriors on their side. And on that day, they killed almost as many men as they had in their army. Friends, remember, the tribe of Benjamin had 26,000 soldiers and Israel had 400,000. The tribe of Benjamin killed 22,000 soldiers of Israel on the first day. Now, if you're Israel, that is pretty darn discouraging. But once again, Israel asked God if they should continue to go against their fellow countrymen, their brothers in the tribe of Benjamin. God says yes. They want to make sure they're doing the right thing, and they didn't misinterpret what God was revealing to them initially. They want to make sure they're doing the right thing. You know, honestly, they were probably second-guessing themselves after this initial defeat. But God gives them the assurance that they are to move forward. You ever feel like that? Knowing what God has told you to do, and yet it still seems like you're failing miserably. You're failing miserably at the task at hand that God has said, do it. Dear friend, we need to stop putting God on our time schedule. We need to trust Him. Even when that is, well, when it seems that we are losing and the losses just keep piling up and up and up. When the doubt comes and knocking at the door, stay strong in what you know God told you to do. Stay the course. Stay on the tough, narrow path. On the second day, the tribe of Benjamin slaughters another 18,000 Israelites. Now, this is less than the first day, but now Israel has lost 40,000 soldiers. Friends, this is 10% of what they started out with. Again, Israel feels defeat instead of the victory that they were expecting. So they ask God for further confirmation. This time they also fasted and made sacrifices to show their loyalty, devotion, and commitment to God Almighty. Friends, Israel was ready to give up. Especially since they were fighting against and being killed by their own countrymen. But God assures them victory is coming. You see, friends, God was teaching Israel that the victory doesn't depend on the size of the army, but on their trust in him. He wanted them to keep coming to him and showing their trust and to not give up when things got a little hard. Friends, this morning I'd like to offer you, if you will, the opportunity to put a tool into your tool belt or into your toolbox. I'd like to teach you something called the process. Now, we will use this pyramid to help us work through this idea together and help solidify this concept into your mind this morning. Now, it's going to be up to you to buy into this concept and to actually put it into action in your own life. So you have some responsibility here. Now, this is something that I personally use in my own life. And I teach this to children and even athletes that I'm blessed to coach every single year. So let's get started. Character. Character is the foundation of the process. As you can see, it is the largest section of this idea as well. And it is, again, the foundation, the base of this whole idea. Not only knowing God's ways, but actively living out these ways in all that you do. We need to read the Word of God, get it inside of us, into our heart, into our mind. Mark shared with me, you went over the book of Proverbs this summer. Friends, get those into you. It doesn't mean it always happens that way, but there's some pretty great, incredible wisdom there to be lived out. If I do this, then this is going to happen, or more than likely going to happen. Now, do you need a relationship with Jesus Christ to use this tool in your life? Well, no. But I highly recommend that you choose to give your life over to Christ and let him work in and through your life as only he can through the power of the Holy Spirit. You will eventually receive your victory if you do so. Preparation is the next section that we see in the process. Things like fasting and prayer time, as well as making the choice to live out God's ways even when someone isn't looking. Because we all know God is still watching. Friends, get yourself on the narrow path that God has for you. By setting your mind and your spirit right in the Lord and his ways, you are then preparing yourself to make good and right choices with your body. The body that God has given to you. For example, the Bible is very clear on staying away from sexual immorality and that we should not give in to drunkenness. The Bible also teaches that bad company corrupts good character. In and through this preparation time, God might be bringing to mind people that you might need to start distancing yourself from and to begin to, well, to process to finding new friends that God may want you to spend more time with your valuable time. Friends, with that happening, God might also have you begin the painful process of getting some friends out of your life or spend a lot less time with them. Taking an inventory of who God might want you with or not to be around much. Now, friends, this can be very, very difficult. Our next section we'll take a look at is performance. Living out God's ways in the real world. And not worrying about the results of your actions. Letting God and the benefits and consequences of His natural law take its course. Earlier I was talking to you about taking an inventory of friends. Friends that God might want you to be around or not be around. Now, I am not in the least saying going to a close friend, you should do this and say something like, we can't be friends anymore. Because I am needing to find some new and better friends. No. That is not what I am even implying. What I am suggesting is that you in the real world start living out God's ways that you've been preparing to do anyway by reading God's word and knowing the difference between right and wrong. And then making God's choice in that process. That might mean not going to the bar that night or staying away from sexual immorality and making good choices with your body. By doing this and staying consistent with your choices and not preaching to people through it. Friends, people will begin to take notice of your actions. Some will like it, and some will not like it. Our last section we're going to take a look at is results. Now, you'll notice that this is the smallest section of this whole concept. Because whether you win or lose, don't worry about the results. You don't worry about the results. And again, whether your friends like it or not, do not worry. Do what is right in God's eyes. If you don't see a victory, keep a good attitude and keep living out God's ways. Knowing that He works all things together for the good for those who love Him and have been called according to His purpose. Again, don't worry about the results. Once you're done performing, if you will, go back to character. Go back and say, all right, what does the Word of God have to say? All right, I'm going to prepare. I'm fasting. I'm praying. I'm in a small group. Then I get to go out into the world again. Then don't worry about the results. Move on. Go to character, preparation, performance. Most of you in here are totally results oriented and you don't even know it. And you might be thinking, oh, not me. How many of you, after your favorite team plays a game and you haven't seen the game, find some friends that like your team as well and ask them a question? Did we win the game? Did our team win? That is results focused. Painfully, I have to admit, I'm a Minnesota Vikings fan. It's painful because The team has been to 4 Super Bowls and has never won one. Here's the struggle. During the season, Minnesota Vikings are usually one of the best teams in the NFL. They're usually really good. And every year, hey, we got a chance. No, we don't. Because there's something that happens during the season that they're not making good choices during the play. You see, friends, I've been blessed to coach sports for over 15 years. And I can tell you this from sports that goes to life. You learn more in a loss than you do in a win any day. Your team learns more in losing than it does in winning. You as a person, like it or not, learn more in defeat than you do in victory. Friends, if we stay focused on the process, victory is going to come. But in and through it, there will be struggles. There's going to be, unfortunately, pain. As the song says, I'm going to see a victory. I'm going to see a victory. The battle belongs to the Lord, though. These battles, there's battles that happen in war, right? Do you win every battle? Absolutely not. And if you do, man, you're a pretty amazing person. Friends, trust in God. And just keep getting closer and closer to Him. The battle belongs to the Lord, not you. Knowing that you will see a victory, but it needs to be in God's timing, not in your own. As we wrap up this morning, I encourage you to think of Job. Friends, he didn't do anything wrong. He didn't do anything wrong. God told Satan, "See my servant over there?" He lived his life faithfully. He didn't do anything wrong. And yet his friends and his wife questioned him big time. Yet, Job held to his good character and integrity in the Lord. Dear friend, a victory is coming. Don't anticipate when that should be, though. That is all in God's hands. Have you lived that out in your life? You know, maybe you expect something to be an easy win, but then it ends up being a lot harder than you expected. Do you give up? Or do you keep turning to God like the Israelites did? Are you focused on the results? Or are you focused on the process of what God is doing? Friends, victory may not always be ours, but victory is always because of God. Before I end today, I want to encourage you, and you need to answer this question. What will you, or what will I, do about Jesus Christ? As the worship team comes up for our closing song, I'd like to consider what Christ did for you. Friends, no whining, no complaining, no excuses. He made no excuses. He did not complain. He didn't whine about going to the cross at all. He did this all for you. He went to the cross willingly. He got beat up to a bloody pulp just for you. And he hung on that cross and he died for you and for me. Not only so you and I could have eternal life, but to live out the kingdom of God in all that we do. He then literally defeated death by raising from the dead 3 days later. He did that for you, and he did that for me. Friends, he is alive today. He defeated death. That is how powerful Jesus Christ really is. No one is like him. No one. What will you do about Jesus Christ? While we close the service, if you'd like prayer for something, I'll be up front over here. Caroline, I'm calling you out. If you wouldn't mind coming up, I'd appreciate it too. Anybody else who's a part of the prayer team here, please come forward. If you'd like prayer, please come forward. You can stay in your seat. That's fine too. Not a problem. Had some great prayer time in the first service. Just amazing. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 tells us to trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Let him lead you to victory in his timing, not yours. Friends, you will see a victory. Are you willing to wait on God? Come forward if you will. As we get ready to leave, I just want to encourage you to put all of your faith and trust and hope in Almighty God. He made you. He formed you. He knew you before you were even born. He formed you in your mama's womb. He did. He wants you. You. He wants to work in and through you. Friends, if you're feeling like you're failing and losing all the time, stay the course. God is good. He is very good. Most of you know I run a ministry called Worldview Warriors, and I am so honored to be here today. I love this church. I love this congregation. And I appreciate that you are so willing to allow me and others of the ministry to come here and speak. Friends, we came out with a brand new resource this year called God is Good. This is part of the reason I preached on Judges today. We really believe the book of Judges is literally, yes, it was for the Israelites, but there's so much in there that's for us right now. It's incredible. It truly is amazing how much similarities are going on with what happened with them and with us. Crying out to God, then falling away, doing our own thing. Oh God, we screwed up again. It is us. On your way out, we've got some resources on the right side out there. Our stuff is for donations, okay? I'm not here trying to sell you something. I'm here to equip you, because that is what God has called us to do. To encourage and equip the body of Christ. Friends, if you wouldn't mind, please stand if you're able. Friends, go out and share the love of Christ with everyone. We are the church. You are the church. Show the world what it means to be a Christian. Don't just sit there and point your finger and no. Let's love people. Let's show them love. You go out, make this week great, and may God work in and through you, and Holy Spirit empower each person here with your love and your grace and your mercy. I'll see you guys later, and thanks for letting me speak. Let's pray. God, you are good, and we love you. You are the King, and we are not. And we ask that you would allow us to serve you in all that we do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.